Last night I was awakened from a sound sleep by all kinds of commotion. I looked at the clock and it was about midnight. And then I said, what in the world is going on? Then I realized it was fireworks. And then I remembered it was New Year's Eve. Chinese New Year. So today's the New Year's Day. I've never been that impressed with the New Year's Eve on December 31st or January 1st, because it doesn't celebrate anything. There's no event. It's just the changing of one year to the next, which I think what people like about it is the celebration, not so much the change, but the celebrations, the family reunions, the holiday. So there's something to celebrate, to get together, and also the hope of a new beginning. At least with the Chinese New Year or the Lunar New Year, we are really observing a real event, that is a cosmic event, change in the phase of the moon. So, and as we studied earlier this week, creation is good, creation is beautiful, and we should give praise to God for the moon and the sun and the stars, and they're beautiful. They remind us of the Creator, and they teach us that creation does have beauty and stability to it. So that is something to celebrate. But in the cultures where the Chinese New Year is celebrated with great festivity, it's not just the moon that they celebrate, but they celebrate family and culture and history, and they have a day off or a week off. And so it's the celebrations themselves that become a reason for celebrating. Still, not that much to it. Although different cultures have different ways of observing New Year. A New Year does give us a refreshment of our hope. Let's leave the old behind. Let's leave the year of the pandemic behind, and let's start with something new, healthy, fresh. Well, we who are children of God and who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we have much more to celebrate than the cycles of the moon and the cosmic cycles. What we celebrate is the entrance into time, the entrance into creation of God Himself. He became part of this world. He entered into it as a man. So in today's gospel, Jesus, God made man, heals a man, a deaf man, a man with a speech impediment. It's a much greater thing to celebrate than the cycle of the moon, because it's a human person who had been living in suffering, in deafness, not being able to hear the word, not able to communicate. He's healed. And the way Jesus does it reminds us of what we heard just the other day. It's like a new creation. When God created the first man, He formed him out of the earth and He breathed into him. Well, here Jesus touches his ears as if He's reshaping him, recreating him, and He breathes on him. Spittle is an image or a sign in that culture of the breath. Be opened. Be opened. It's a word that has creative power, and it has effect. It's a divine word. Ephatha. So that's something to celebrate. I'm told that in the Holy Land, there's a chapel. I guess it's somewhere on the eastern side of the Jordan where the Decapolis region was. There's a chapel called the Ephatha Chapel. I've never been there, but I've heard there's a chapel there which celebrates or commemorates this event. And that's right. That's right. Let's celebrate things that are really extraordinary signs of God's goodness. Well, the greatest thing to celebrate is the victory over sin and death. We celebrate every year Jesus' death and resurrection. Today's first reading, though, brings us back to why Jesus died and rose. What problem was he trying to solve? Not merely deafness, which is a physical impediment, but sin, which is a spiritual, a crippling spiritual condition. Today's first reading recounts the fall of our first parents in the garden. Not something to celebrate, something to mourn, although when we read this, we read it with the awareness that the problem, which is so deeply rooted in us, has already been addressed by God. That's why the psalm response is deliberately put together with this reading about the fall. The psalm says, "Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven." So we read about sin, and we say, "Oh, what a mess we made of the world and of ourselves." And then we say, "Well, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven." There's an answer to the problem. What's the problem? The misuse of freedom. The problem looks like it's the serpent, but the serpent is only a tempter. The serpent does not make the woman eat the fruit. He just appeals to her. He advertises in front of her. But the woman makes the decision, and so does the man. They decide freely to eat the forbidden fruit. This is symbolic language. We don't have to think that there's a talking serpent anywhere, and we don't have to look around for which fruit is the forbidden one. This is a symbolic way of describing the limit which exists because we are creatures. We are not God. Why can we violate that limit? Because we have freedom. Animals and plants and the sun and the moon, they don't violate God's order. They just do what they're made to do. But we, because we're free, because we're made in the image of God, we can misuse the gift. That's where temptation comes in. Temptation, and everyone is tempted. Adam and Eve were tempted. They had not fallen. There was nothing wrong with them, but they were tempted. Jesus was tempted. Mary was tempted. Everybody's tempted. Temptation does not mean we have to give in. Yesterday, maybe most of us were participants in reflecting on Pope Francis's talk on covetousness, coveting, and he identified the pattern very well. There are evil desires, evil suggestions rise up in us. Of course, we have a fallen nature. We have concupiscence, which Adam and Eve did not have at this time. But these evil suggestions, desires arise in us, and like a wave, if we don't resist them, they carry us into sin. Well, in the case of Adam and Eve, they didn't have concupiscence, but they could be tempted because they are free beings. So the temptation is, oh, look, you can rise up beyond the creature condition. You can be like God. You can declare yourself to be God. Isn't that a great idea? No, it's not a great idea. That's a violation of everything that you are and everything that God has designed. But because that's how temptation works, it presents what is evil as a good. Isn't that a great idea? Isn't that something that you would like? Isn't it better than what you have now? No, it's not better. We have to be able to identify temptation so that we can resist it. If we don't identify it, we buy into it before we're even thinking. This is what advertising is all about. It makes us think that this is a good thing. And it tries to make us think that without thinking. Oh, I should have this. I should buy this. I should look like this. I should experience this. Well, no, you shouldn't. But why do we so quickly buy into what is suggested to us? because this is the nature of temptation. Anyway, that we can learn a lot from the experience of our first parents, how temptation works, and also where the line is. Temptation, temptation, temptation. It's not sin until we decide to take the fruit and eat it. The story immediately reveals what a disaster it is to violate the will of God. Their eyes are opened not to beauty, not to the order of creation. Their eyes are opened to their own wounded condition, their own vulnerability, even to each other. So they have to clothe themselves to protect themselves from each other's violations. And then they hide from God. Why hide from God? He knows everything. He sees everything. We can't hide from him. But this is the nature of sin. It makes us feel like we are no longer safe in the presence of God. Shame makes us hide from God. Terrible effect. But it's not the end of the story. It's the end of the passage. It's the end of this reading. You know, they're hiding from God. And we'll learn tomorrow about the effects of sin. But the bigger picture is that God also has an answer to sin. He takes on sin. He takes on the condition of death. And he reverses it. In fact, he more than reverses it, he completely overpowers it. That's why we celebrate the death and resurrection. So much greater than any new year, much greater than any cosmic cycle, much greater than any human accomplishment, we celebrate the newness that comes with grace, forgiveness. The real renewal is not the renewal of the moon every month. The real renewal is the renewal that comes from Jesus Christ. This is what we celebrate. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. Blessed are we when our sins are forgiven.